Good morning. You're listening to Connect FM on 96.7 or 99.7, whichever you wish. We're recording live from beautiful downtown Dubois. You're listening to the Contact Program. I'm Pat Shea. I'll be your host. I wanted to mention that we're doing a series. We've asked all 12 candidates for the new city council to participate in an interview. All 12 accepted. So over the next few weeks, we're going to have all 12 candidates, two at a time, come give us their thoughts on the new city council. I have one thing to mention. Last week's show, I talked about there being seven Republicans, four Democrats, and one nonpartisan candidate. That is true. However, people came into the station and called and sent emails saying, you need to explain that two of those Democrats are really Republicans that received write-in candidates in the primary, and that's why they are running as a Democratic candidate. So what I said was true, seven Republicans, four Democrats, and one nonpartisan, but two of the Democratic candidates are Republicans that received the write-in candidates. So if party is important to you in this election, you need to be aware of that. So today we're going to be having Sam Mollica and Mike Picciarillo. We flipped a coin. Mike will be going first, and we'll get right into the questions after this message.
Hi folks, are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
Okay, so today we have Sam Mollica and Mike Picciarillo, candidates for the new Dubois City Council that'll take effect in January. Thank you, Sam and Mike, for coming today. We appreciate you coming. We're going to start with Mike Picciarillo. He won the flip of the coin, and we're going to start with our first question of the day. And on your list, Mike, it's question number two, because I'm going to ask what used to be number one last. What would you say is the biggest impediment to an effective consolidation of Sandy Township to being part of the new city of Dubois?
The biggest impediment would be to focus on negative from the past and fail to recognize the positives expected, which were the factors used by the voters to vote in favor to consolidate, municipalities. I know that is a general statement. A couple specifics are the need to elect a mature, competent, forward-looking council. Another is a refusal of those in governance and the employees of that new city to not work cooperatively, and any differences need resolved amicably and soon.
Well, thank you. You can't be positive if you're being negative. So that's a good point. I didn't mean to interrupt you. If you had more, go ahead.
I was going to make one last statement, sure, but the interruption moved it from my mind.
Sorry
thank
about
you,
that. But I get your point, and that is a good point to make. Mr. Mollica, what would you say is the biggest impediment to an effective consolidation of Sandy Township into the new city of Dubois?
Well, I really don't think there are any. I think everything's been, the last 3 years, we've been heading toward toward consolidation, and I haven't seen anything that's going to cause Sandy Township to have any problems with the consolidation. In fact, when we wake up in January, the things are going to be just the same. You're not going to see any difference. Things that you're doing now in Sandy Township will be exactly the same, because Sandy won't exist. Old Dubois won't exist. We'll have a brand new city that starts out fresh. And I think that's what people need to realize. Like Mike said, I agree with him that we need to forget about things in the past and focus on the future.
Well, they might be hard to forget, but I guess you absolutely have to move on, that's for sure. Mr. Mollica, we'll ask you this next question first. Once the township is fully consolidated into the new city of Dubois, are you aware of any changes that will take place with bringing the township under the rules of the third-class city code? This will be the first time that people living in what's Sandy Township is going to be under the rules of the third-class city code.
Well, in reality, when the ballot question, when it was put on the ballot, the new city is set up more like a township, because you're going to have 7 elected council, and then the mayor will be chosen by the council. So instead of the mayor being elected at large, it's going to be the council choosing, which is what similar to what the township has now. We have 5 supervisors, and every year one of them gets elected chairman of the supervisor. So that mayor is going to be elected by the council members. And if, let's say, we don't like the mayor, let's say the mayor does something, well, next meeting we can replace that mayor if we want to. If we're not happy with his, if somehow he goes on out on a limb and starts doing things, because the problem is everyone's equal as far as in the eyes of the council, that we're just there to do, we should all agree among each other of what our goals are going to be. It's not, and it's good to have dissension so you get different opinions, but it's going to be basically a township type government.
Well, thank you. Mr. Picciarello, once the township is fully consolidated and is now the new city of Dubois, are you aware of any changes that will take place in bringing the township under the third class city code? What's going to be different for the township people that they hadn't experienced because they weren't part of living under a third-class city code?
Okay, the question has the word that changes will take place. So I'm not going to address it as what should take place, but what will take place. There cannot be a whole lot, because it's still going to continue as a third-class city. Once the township consolidates with the city, there is no more township. The rules of third class, the city, third class city code will prevail. The same subject spoken of, excuse me, please, again, by Sam, is that the mayor is not elected by the electorate. Now, I understand that the first 4 years, that is correct. The council will elect a mayor from among the 7. I am not certain what happens 4 years from now. I'm familiar that the third class city code does require the mayor to be elected by the voters. That's section 701 of the third class city code. I am not at this time saying I'm correct or incorrect on what will happen in 2029. But following the third class city code, currently I'm aware that the mayor is elected by the voters.
Well, thank you. And Mr. Picciarello, I'll ask you the next question first. What savings do you expect to see with the combined government as the new city of Dubois?
I expect savings are possible and will happen. I don't believe it will be immediately, because the savings will be significant, keeping the same level of service to the citizens. Also, those are going to be delayed. First, the square miles are not going to shrink, and the roads are not going to get any shorter. It's still going to take the same personnel to patrol the roads, to clean the roads, to keep them clear in the winter. So the police will protect the same area along with the firefighters, the streets and the highway. They're not going to get shorter. They're not going to get warmer or colder. Nothing's changing there. Consequently, the cost can change very little. You could have savings in bulk purchasing that does not exist now, at least not that much. Police payroll possibly could be reduced with less overtime from a larger personnel pool for scheduling and assignments for special events. It can also anticipate savings by reducing the number of supervisory personnel, certainly not the guy on the street or the girl. Fire protection early on shows some savings with less fire halls occupied, but that can reverse when new facilities are constructed. Someone's going to pay for them. The department is staffed with dedicated volunteers. Obviously, there'll be no personnel savings as long as we have volunteers. The numbers of property to be protected will not diminish. Remember, the city is divided by railroad crossings and even natural possible barriers, for example, flooding. You cannot reduce the number of rolling stock we have now. They have to be ready to go in any direction. And it's always been the strategy of where to locate your halls and how much equipment to have available. When the train goes through, some of the guys can't get there that quick. So you have to have enough equipment on each side of those tracks, on each side of any flooded creek. Potential for significant savings would be in administration, because you could go to a single administrative building. You can have two sets of accounting records, obviously, down to one. So there can be savings in administration. Public works savings could benefit from lower pricing of bulk purchasing and possibly combining duties of supervising personnel. The savings currently incalculable. By achieving only with careful, constant budget and financial report vigilance, then action.
Thank you. Mr. Mollica, what savings do you expect to see with the combined government?
Well, the savings will come later. They'll come later once we find out how many police officers we need, how many fire stations we need. One thing you don't want to do, you don't want to go into this and say, well, we're cutting this, we're cutting that, because right now the city and township they had lost a lot of people, administrative people beforehand, due to different reasons, and so we were a little short on people at the time of trying to figure out how we are going to consolidate. So I would like to see any savings that we have go into making the DuBois, the new city, better. And I'd like to see us have a strong manager and also an assistant manager, so that we're ready for whenever there's any turnover. And that's the same way with going down the line for the employees, making sure we have plenty of employees to get the jobs done. One thing that upset me a little bit was we threw away a lot of money by not consolidating faster. I thought this would happen within 9 months, and it should have happened because the consolidation study pointed out all the savings we were going to have, and due to inflation and we had to build a new sewage plant, the residents of Sandy Township actually lost quite a bit of money by not being able to take advantage of lower sewer rates during the four previous years that we've had. And a place in New Jersey called Princeton, New Jersey, Princeton Township and the city of Princeton, when they consolidated back in 2013, they saved on an average of $1.2 million a year from the combined consolidation, and that's probably how much I would anticipate eventually that the new city will save per year.
Well, thank you. Mr. Mollica, next question is, what do you expect to happen with our taxes? Do you expect that the cities are going to go up or down and the township may go up, or do you see both areas staying roughly the same?
Well, the problem with the tax rates are that they have to equal. Du Bois is already paying more than Sandy as far as taxes goes per resident and based on the tax rates. So now Sandy has to come up to what Du Bois is paying. So when you adjust the rates, it causes an increase in taxes for Sandy residents. So I'm expecting the taxes to go up some. We're still working on the budget at the present time, so the tax and looking for ways that we can cut it to make the tax rate not so high. But the only problem is, and by being high is most of the residents would get hit with a 3% total tax rate hike. And that's adding all the county, the school, and the township, the city tax together. So I know that doesn't sound a lot, but if you have a business, I know based on my past business, when I owned a restaurant, my local taxes were $3,000 or $4,000 a year. So when you look at that way, 3% is quite a bit that they'll have to pay. So we want to try to keep keep the taxes down as much as we can. So the other problem is if we lower the tax rates, then Du Bois tax rates go down. So you end up with Sandy paying more and Du Bois paying less, which I'm not sure that's something we want to do.
Gotcha. Mr. Picciarello, what do you expect to happen with taxes?
Okay, I have here in my hand from the 2025 tax duplicate, a couple copies of tax bills, one from the township and one from the city. Thereon, the city millage is 11.75. Township millage is 7.55. Now remember, that's all the same assessed value, so if you have them. A certain building in the town, current township, one in the city, the assessed value may be the same, but the tax thereon is less. Okay, that's 4.2%. If one decided we will just easily raise the township to where the city's already, that's a 55% tax increase for township residents. Pretty unacceptable. Now, last year my tax bill was $500. Now it's dang near $800, and that's not going to happen. Somewhere between 11.75 and 7.55 will have to be a fair taxation to the residents of this new city. You cannot drop Sandy down that far. Obviously, you're going to have a budget shortfall. If you raise everybody from the city, you're going to have a tax a budget variance to the plus. It's not going to happen. It's going to be worked on when the budget is prepared. What do we need to pay the bill? All right. How much is available to us? Then you set your tax rate. And also, there's another tax that has to be looked at. It's not just our real estate tax. We have an earned income tax. That's pretty unpredictable, especially here. We've seen a lot of unfortunate closings of business. We have one going to happen at the end of the year. You do not get earned income tax from unemployment benefits. When you lose a job, you lose a tax. So that is an unknown, but must be watched, because that rate could change. We've been very fortunate having a 1% local earned income tax. That's between the city and the school district, and the township and the school district. But there's room to increase that. Many cities are up and boroughs are up to 1.4. Well, those are my views.
Thank you. And gentlemen, I hate to say this, but in order for us to answer the rest of the questions, I'm going to have to ask you both to speed up your answers a little bit. We'll jump into Mr. Picciarello asking about the fire department.
Fire department, how can I reduce the amount spent on that question? The fire department I have here, you pretty much covered in your question. The area has benefited from having a strong fire department. This has led to quick response times, lower homeowners insurance, and a general sense of being cared for. Then you question what to do to plan to continue that. Okay. To continue that, the departments are already really doing the excellent job. Okay. With their department already consolidated without interference from governance. I've had the privilege of serving in the Dubois Fire Department for several decades. Okay. I continue to do that, and I find it very enjoyable to be among these people. I believe the other six council persons, when we're working on this, will fulfill that mission by funding them. Okay. I want to see them get their annual allocation, not only allocated, but paid. That's very important. Also want to see help in recruiting, because how long can you go with a volunteer fire department if there aren't people there who are not career firemen getting a salary? And that's important that we recruit the young people. It's a difficult job, not only for Dubois and Sandy, throughout the Commonwealth.
Thank you. And Mr. Mollica, the fire department, as we said, we benefited from having a very good fire department in both the township and the city with the quick response times, lower homeowners insurance, and we feel pretty well cared for. What do you plan to do to ensure that we continue with top-notch fire protection?
Well, I think the fire companies, they've gone ahead and they've basically taken and come up with a plan that is great as far as consolidating stations, and you'll see savings from that once we sell excess equipment. And I plan not to, I wouldn't interfere with them. And at a meeting I think last month's meeting, Jason Runyon, the fire chief, brought us, reminded us there is a plan out there, a law, Act 91 and Act 172, that allows the fire companies to, allows the firemen to either get a credit on their real estate taxes or their earned income taxes or both, which could, a lot of these guys probably spend 20 to 30 hours a week on fire company things that they have to do. And so it would allow them to at least get some benefit. And I think that would be a great idea. The other thing, not to forget about the police, too. The police would like a gun range that would help them. And actually, after the tragedy in York, I think we need to do all we can for the police departments, too, to make sure they're adequately trained. And one thing that this does, having fire companies that are vibrant in the area, it also helps our neighboring townships that might not be as, they might not have enough volunteers, so we can always give mutual aid to other, having a strong Dubois fire department, police department helps the outside areas. Because the state police can't be everywhere, and fire companies in the rural areas are having a difficult time also recruiting. So we need to keep up with the great job that the fire companies are doing now.
Gentlemen, this is the first time this happened. We only have 30 seconds left. So what I really like to ask, I'm not going to ask because we don't have the time, and I apologize for that. You guys both had very informative and detailed answers. The only problem is it used up our time, so I apologize for that. Equal time means we give you the same amount of time that we do all the others. You gentlemen just took it up a little quicker than the others. But I want to thank you both, Mike Picciarillo and Sam Mollica, for being on the show today. And I apologize that we ran out of time. But thank you both for coming.
Thank you.